All right, so the Beatles' final song dropped today, and this was made based on a demo John Lennon made, obviously, before his death in December of 1980, eventually found its way into the hands of George Harrison, and eventually found its way to the hands of people who could turn it into this. Looking at the internet, as of 2019, check this out. As of 2019, the Beatles' music has been streamed almost 2 billion times during the year 2019. And here's an interesting statistic. 30% comes from people 18 to 24, followed by 25 to 29-year-olds at 17%, which is astonishing. And Generation Z, basically people born from the mid-90s into the mid-2010s. That's what we're talking about. So, I wish I could say that this is old fart radio, but it's not really, because apparently the Beatles are still very, very relevant. And joining us right now, we're lucky to have on my good friend, drummer with Buffalo's Beatle Connection, the BBC, Ringo Starr's friend, his personal drum historian, and co-author of a book that's coming out just in time for Christmas, Gary Astridge. Gary is with us here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Gary, you heard me rattle off a whole bunch of statistics there about younger people who are streaming the Beatles music. Does it surprise you that despite the various websites, Beatles suck and everything else, that so many of the younger generation, it does not break it down country by country, but so many of the younger generation is still finding resonance to the Beatles?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all, because I see it at Beatle conventions. I see it with our band when we play out, you know, the different age groups. And I'm just looking online, too, on the Beatles YouTube channel. It's showing that the song was released on YouTube 5 hours ago, and there's over 1.35 million views already.
Wow. So that's more than any post I've ever put up. I don't know.
Yeah.
just saying. No, that's pretty remarkable. So if we are to say that the Beatles are enduringly popular even among people in their 20s and 30s, why?
You know, that's a good question. Something that's interesting, I was invited to do a talk in Asuncion, Paraguay, last year around this time, and actually at this time, and I could not believe the people of Paraguay, just beautiful people. They had me there for, I think, 6 days. You know, they're so proud of their country, their history, and they when I did my presentation with them, they just hung on every word. And you know, some were cheerful, you know, when I would mention certain emotional, you know, things. And but the power of the Beatles around the world is just it's absolutely amazing. And I mean, you think about it, Tom, when with those of us that were lucky to have seen the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. You know, they're guessing, or there was an estimated 73 million. They did something that, you know, that I've never known of before. How could four guys on a television show change people's, as you said, trajectory, you know, after that performance? How does that happen? I don't have an answer.
Well, you know, I think, and that's the nice thing about YouTube, is anytime you want, you can go back and you can watch the old videos of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I think you can capture some, you can get the sense of the kind of enthusiasm the Beatles engendered, and I don't know, they were just, it was almost like they were right for the time, because the country was still reeling from the assassination of President Kennedy, and along came the Beatles, and it's almost like the counterculture, if you will, was born, even though the manager of the Beatles early on made them dress up in those silly suits.
Yeah, and you know what else was amazing when you lived at the time was that before they came on the show, you know, in real time, people are, you know, you're seeing people with the short haircuts, their clothing styles, and just everything that we were used to hearing on the radio, and they come on and change it all in a few minutes.
Pretty amazing. The song. Do you have any other tidbits behind the song that was released today, Now and Then, that people aren't going to see online? Things that only a guy who's friends with Ringo could tell us without getting into trouble.
Yeah. Other than what I told you in the first hour, no, that's pretty much all that I know. I'm sure there's more stories. And some that I'll find out, I'm sure, down the road. But I left it all on the table. That's all I know.
Gary, obviously the Beatles changed your trajectory. Obviously the Beatles remain enormously popular even among younger generations. There are a select number of bands which I think you would find the same, for which you'd find the same demographic tendencies. I think of Led Zeppelin. I think of Pink Floyd. I mean, Dark Side of the Moon has been on the charts ever since it was released in one position or another. There are certain bands, and for some people it's the Grateful Dead, which transcend time and space.
You're right. Look at the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention the Stones. Speaking of which, the rivalry between the Stones and the Beatles, based on your conversations with certain individuals, was that overplayed? Was that just a marketing ploy that they both came up with? Hey, let's pretend there's a rivalry.
Yeah, they were actually all good friends. And certain individuals in each band would be at some of the recording sessions, you know, for the Beatles, for the Stones. And they all got along. I know John would get a little snippy sometimes, you know, saying that they stole things from the Beatles, you know, certain ideas and stuff. But that's all part of the music business. And they all remained good friends.
Yeah, in fact, I'm sure you've seen the video online of John Lennon doing Your Blues live, and he's got some Rolling Stones there, he's got Eric Clapton there, and basically it's like an all-star lineup backing up John Lennon doing Your Blues live.
Yeah, that was absolutely amazing, and I love that version of the song that they do.
Oh, it's absolute magic, and it was live. It was live. No lip syncing, none of that. It was live.
So, you know what? There's something else I wanted to mention to you, Tom, that you might not be aware of, but on October 11th, here in our community, right down the street from you at Damon University, we unveiled a Ringo Peace and Love hand sculpture. 8.5 feet tall, surrounded by a garden and a fence, and it's in a public space on the campus called Saffron Park. And it was donated by a beautiful guy, John and his wife Carolyn Yurtchuk. And we had the ribbon cutting, like I said, on October 11th, and that's open to the public. People can go there and see it. And what was interesting for me is that the young students that saw the statue, they marveled at seeing it. And some of them I talked to, and they couldn't help but, you know, once they read the little plaque and saw that it was Ringo's hand, you know, large as ever, given the peace sign, they were calling their parents and sending photos, you know, saying, "Oh my God, you won't believe what's here." But the nice thing is, with that being the home, it's a nice positive message for students and, you know, anyone that cares to drop by and take a look at it. So I just wanted to mention it.
Until in 50 years from now, it's deemed culturally insensitive or culturally appropriative, and then they tear it down. Gary Astridge is with us. What, as far as Ringo, the drummer, I'm sure you've had a chance many times to listen to the new song, which dropped today, the final Beatles song, Now and Then. You want to, do I dare put you on the spot and ask you to critique Ringo's drumming for good or for ill?
No, I think he did a good job, and Ringo's made his drumming philosophy pretty well known. You know, he just plays to the song. You know, he's not an aggressive drummer. He's not, hey, you know, let me try doing a solo through the whole, you know, 4-minute song here. You know, but he's always been tasteful, and I think he just represented himself well in this song too. You know, he just kind of sat back, let it take place, and you know, added a fill or two when needed. But yeah, did a good job.
I mean, to me, Ringo Starr to drums is what Don Felder, formerly of the Eagles, was to guitar. Always exactly the right thing to play at exactly the right time. That was Ringo Starr. And that remains, that continues to be Ringo Starr. Just a very, very tasteful drummer. Are there any expectations within the surviving Beatles camps as to how this song is going to chart?
Once again, that's something I don't know, but I'm sure it'll do well. I'm sure it'll do well.
Gary, as somebody who obviously knows Ringo, and I know you've also had a chance to meet Paul McCartney, I don't think you ever had a chance to meet George Harrison. But, you know, as you look back on this, as somebody whose professional life basically started watching the Ed Sullivan Show and then finding out that today, really, the final Beatles song is being released, does this provide you with any kind of musical, and I hate this word, but closure?
For me, no. And one thing, I never met Paul McCartney. And
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
No, I never did. And but for me, I have like a whole different take. If I never had this blessed opportunity with Ringo, and I was just the fan, yeah, this would mean a lot more to me. But because he turned my world upside down in a positive way, I'm just. I just have so many Beatley ongoing experiences to take me to a whole other level.
I mean, you really are, and I don't know, you're really part of kind of like the outer ring of the inner circle of Beatleland.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's what's interesting is that with this book Beats and Threads coming out. For me, what Ringo's doing is he's acknowledging me, and my, like you could say, lifelong research and passion of doing what I've done to make this unimaginable level. But for him to give me this opportunity it just speaks volumes.
So the book is called Beats and Threads, Gary Astridge and Ringo Starr. When are people going to be able to buy it just in time for the holidays?
Yeah. There should be some advertisements coming out soon. This is going to be sold through Julian's Auctions. And there's going to be three different levels. There's going to be the regular hardcover book, and then there'll be another one with Ringo's signature, and that will come in in a book case. And then the ultimate will be an autographed book in a clamshell type case. And when you open the lid, on the inside inside of the lid will be a video that will play of an interview with me and Ringo.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's actually very, very cool. Gary, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Anything that I didn't ask you about the final Beatles song and Beatlemania that you want to get into?
No, but I do have a quick commercial.
Go ahead.
Okay. It would the BBC. It's a sold out show, as far as I know. But we're playing a Classics 5 on Saturday, November 25th. And if you'd like to check to see if tickets are available, just go to thebbcband.com, and you'll get the information there and who to call. And hope to see you there if you can get in.
And I'm sorry, that I know it's in Erie County, Niagara Falls Boulevard, Classics 5.
Niagara Falls Boulevard, yes, in Amherst.
All right. Hey, Gary, thanks a million. Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks.
And keep us all up to date. Who knows, maybe Ringo's listening to you right now.
Maybe he is.
All right, Gary, thanks a million. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, Tom.
All right, Gary Astridge, who is from Buffalo. He's the drummer for the Buffalo Beatles Connection, friends with Ringo Starr, co-authors with Ringo Starr. And, Gary, has not exactly had a gilded life. And for him to be so close to a childhood idol makes me feel good listening to the happiness and joy which Ringo has given him. Coming up, I want to talk more about the Beatles and music, if that's okay with you. And in that, so many of the streaming people who are streaming the Beatles music are Generation Zers. I think it's kind of a relevant discussion for everybody who is listening to this radio station. I don't think it's not like we're talking, all due respect to Mr. DiMucci, but it's not like we're talking about Dion and the Belmonts here, okay? On News Radio, Danny and the Juniors. It's not at the hop. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Bowerly with you, and again, thanks to Gary Astridge.
I've got a feeling deep inside. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Can't believe Gary Astridge has actually held Ringo Starr's red raincoat that he wears in the rooftop concert. Oh, Gary, I'm so jealous. Anyway, thanks to Gary Astridge for joining us the first part of the show. So now I want to hear your calls. And there are so many questions that I want to ask you guys. So I guess I'm just going to let a whole bunch of questions rip and just see where the show takes us organically. First of all, does it bother you that the Beatles' final song has been released today? Is it really the Beatles, or is it electronics? I mean, technically, it's the Beatles. It's about as close as you're going to get to the Beatles using AI, which will eventually destroy the world and make us all pawns of Satan, okay? Listening to Now and Then, I mentioned this with Gary Astridge, the part that gets me is you hear John Lennon's solo vocals, and then you hear Paul McCartney chiming in with the harmony, and suddenly I said, wow, that's the Beatles. It was like, whoa. I mean, the song itself, I'm sorry, I don't think the song itself is would have ever been an A-side or a B-side of a Beatles single back in the day. It would have been maybe a filler song on the White Album, or maybe Abbey Road, better than Maxwell's Silver Hammer. I'm sorry. But anyway, your take on the Beatles, especially if you are in your 20s or 30s, do the Beatles suck? Do you get the Beatles? Are they overrated? Do you still get into the Beatles music? And, you know, I must confess, I really enjoy the Beatles, and especially from Revolver on. And there's some songs from Sgt. Pepper I love. I love Harrison's Within You, Without You. I love that song. That was like the beginning to me of George Harrison really breaking out into like a different genre and his own personality. And I love Harrison's solo work later on after the Beatles, All Things Must Pass, and a couple of his nostalgic songs, All Those Years Ago, When We Was Fab, etc. But do the Beatles still matter? Or are the Beatles yesterday's news? 803-0930, star 930. They just happen to be today's news, though. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And here's a shocking thing that I will say. Everybody raves about Sgt. Pepper, okay? Everybody raves about that being the ultimate Beatles album. I'm sorry. I love Abbey Road. I think Abbey Road is an awesome side two of Abbey Road. To me, is about as close to musical perfection as you are ever going to get. They took snippets of a bunch of songs and somehow wove them together into a cohesive, unbelievable whole. And I just love it. Let's go to Rich in, I'm sorry, I should really get my eyes examined, but I just did that last week. Rich in Lakeview, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Tom. I am so glad you picked up this topic. I was getting back into the car after streaming and at the end of the workday the song a couple times. And I'm like, you know what? I hope Bowerly talks about this. And I think is it really the Beatles? Absolutely. Look at the critical acclaim and the critical crucifixion that they had when they did something as avant-garde as after Revolver and after Sgt. Pepper. And I think the beauty of the Beatles, or anyone who becomes the soundtrack of your lives, they just happen to become the soundtrack of a planet for the last 60 years.
You know, that I tell you something, that is such a profound, that's such a profound point. My kids are in their 30s, and one of their enduring memories is from 2015 when Paul McCartney came to town. And I won't tell you the ridiculous amount of money I spent for good seats, but they will never, ever forget the fact that they were that close to Paul McCartney. We've seen Ringo a couple of times with his all-star band, which, frankly, was very impressive. But, you know, did you ever have a chance to see the Beatles either as a group or individually in any kind of forum?
Just Ringo. I believe it was, I was younger, maybe my late teens and early 20s at Melody Fair, which was actually awesome, because it's that, that what a great loss that was, because you were close wherever you were at Melody Fair. I remember going to see Tom Jones, and no matter where you were, he's 40 feet away from you. It was just a great time. I think Sarah McLachlan we saw for $15, but that's neither here nor there. It's just a difference. You know, when you see, you know, Richie Starkey get out there playing the drums, it's Ringo. They're bigger than themselves. And that's why I think this is a great, not great song, but a great opportunity. I guess the song went number one on iTunes like 2 hours ago, which I expected. But I think it's a wonderful coda to what these gentlemen now in their 80s were trying to, or when they look back over their career. The Hands of Time Move On, they're both in their 80s. Whatever went on amongst those four, if you listen to the words, is he talking about his kids? Was Lennon talking about Yoko? was he talking about this incredible relationship with four guys he knew since he was a teenager? And, or is he talking about all of us? When you look at it, there's moments you're driving in the car, you're by yourself, you're raking leaves, you're watching the snowfall. Every now and then these memories come back. And I thought it was a wonderful coda. If you watch that 13-minute film, McCartney's a salesman. He's got that within him. But I think it's very heartfelt, and with George Martin's son Giles on there, I don't think they do this. They don't need a money grab. This isn't a holiday release. It's Peter Jackson was an incredible fan. The technology's there. They did the same thing in 1965. Let's push the envelope, and I only wish there was more.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, and I can almost see it now. What's going to happen is when Ringo and Paul depart, some of their heirs are going to find tapes that could have been transformed into more Beatles music with just a little bit of monkeying around, like what Peter Jackson and Jeff Lynne and Giles Martin did with this particular bit of music. By the way, great use of the word coda. I applaud you for that. Obviously a music student of sorts. May I ask how old you are?
56. So the Beatles stopped touring in 66, the year I was born. But I have vivid memories of my brother being born in 69 because it was the same time of the moon landing. And by that time already, and again, as I tell you, what the Beatles mean changes with how old you are. And it's what you bring to the Beatles. That's the genius of the writing. You know, you're a little bit older than I am. By the time I was three or four, Beatles songs were part of the canon of America, of Western culture. So they were already being served as nursery rhymes. At three or four, you knew how to sing songs like Help. And then you hit 25 and realize it's probably the most poignant piece of writing ever.
Well, then there's songs like Nowhere Man. And I mean, they did Nowhere Man when they were in their early to mid 20s, and the lyrics are so profound and so far in advance in terms of wisdom for young men. And I get the same feeling when I listen to Dark Side of the Moon, like, my God, these guys were in their 20s and they did this. I feel rather inadequate.
And again, it's a whole nother. If you read about that time, these young men in their 20s, their fathers, uncles, brothers fought and died in World War II. They looked around, and guys like Keith Richards and Mick Jagger and all of these guys, they were living amongst rebuilt rubble, and yet they found the beauty in art to find this. And we don't have anything in, again, Western culture that even comes close to that. Not to discount any of the great kids and great bands that we have out now, but you know, we haven't lived in a place where you've had to lock out sunlight so you don't, or candlelight so you don't get bombed when you're an infant. So I mean, more power to them, in your 80s and still to be able to command this. And I think there's probably a little part of them when you watch these films and you see what George said in the 90s while he was still around. I think maybe if they had a chance before December 8th, 1980, maybe some of these discussions would have been done. But we're all at different parts during our lives. We say things, we do things. And I'm just glad these four gentlemen, you know, five if you count Billy Preston, six if George Martin, but left this legacy that we still have today. And what I could never remember what the release of a new Beatles song was like. So vicariously, you know, with all those who lived in the early and mid 60s, I never had that Ed Sullivan moment. I wasn't old enough. I looked forward to it. I couldn't wait till it dropped. So I hope people enjoy it and don't perform an autopsy on the technology. Just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a great point, but there are going to be some perfectionists out there who are going to say, this isn't music, this is AI, this is artificial. But you know what? Ordinarily, I mean, I do believe that AI is the tool of Satan. And I'm not even, like, exaggerating much when I say that. But this particular song and the way it was produced, it works. I mean, it's not Love Me Do, it's not Let It Be, it's not Get Back, but you know what? in 2023 to have a new song from a band which was pretty much washed up in 69-70 is pretty remarkable. And the vocal quality of the audio is surprisingly good. And they wouldn't have been, they weren't able to do that even for the Beatles anthology when they put out Free as a Bird and what, Real Love, I think, was the other one. Was it Real Love?
I believe so. And what I wanted to say about this, I was worried.
Hold on, my friend, my love. I need to put you on hold because I'm a prisoner of the clock. Talking about the Beatles, the final Beatles song dropped today. And look, I'm not embarrassed to say I love the Beatles. I think the Beatles are freaking great, in particular from Revolver on. And I shouldn't really say this, but, you know, once they started smoking weed, to me, they got really good. Let's go to, I don't recommend that. I'm just saying that's my own personal subjective opinion. They can thank Bob Dylan for that, I believe. Talking about the Beatles, are they still relevant? Or when I say the Beatles, do you think, oh, old fart music? But don't be so quick to judge, because Generation Z accounts for a significant number worldwide of the over 1 billion annual downloads of streams of Beatles songs online. Let's get back to Rich in Lakeview, who on two occasions so far has used the word coda, which is, I think, a perfect word to describe Now and Then, the Beatles song which dropped today. And you were about to make your culminating climactic point, and I had to break.
You know, I want other people to share this, because the Beatles meant so many things to different people at different times. I was concerned. I was going to say worry, but not enough to worry, concerned that somehow they would make this into a musical Weekend at Bernie's. And this is exactly what it's not. I think there's enough, and once people get that earworm in them, like you said, is it an A-side song? No. Was it a B-side song? No. But no, but is it that song that's 13 or 14 in on the second side after you flip it? I think it's going to mean different things to different people, which is exactly what the Beatles have done. And as someone who's a little older, I tell you, anytime a younger person discovers the Beatles, whether it be in a pre-K musical where they're singing Blackbird, or a kid who picks up an electric guitar the first time and gets that feeling, I just think they did themselves well today. And
let me ask you a question, because you were not part of the Ed Sullivan audience. I was too young. I'm sure I was there, but I'm too young to remember anything of the appearances on the Ed Sullivan show. What was your moment when you discovered the Beatles? Because I remember mine vividly, but you show us yours first.
Well, I was fortunate enough to have a young mom at the end of the 60s. So in a way, I kind of grew up with my mom, and her musical taste. Her parents owned a tavern, so I grew up around towering stacks of 45s. I remember August 16th, 77, when Elvis died, because that was more of her time, and I saw change. But when it was December 8th, 1980, I always knew the Beatles. They were always around. But I'll remember, I was a freshman in high school, and I was watching Monday Night Football when Howard Cosell told us during the Patriots-Miami Dolphins game that it happened. But because the world isn't connected the way it was, we went to school the next morning, and I remember we told our French teacher, Mr. Schmitz at that time, that John Lennon had passed away. And Mr. Schmitz, just great guy, still out there in Springville.
Okay, in the future, please don't use names.
Okay, but to see, and then as the buzz got around the school, how much that John Lennon had meant to everyone around. And then in the subsequent, you probably remember the candlelight vigils at Buff State during our hockey game, before our high school hockey game. It just became an all-encompassing, it touched the world. And that's where I realized it went beyond these people, these four gentlemen, being more than musicians, but part of each individual one of our experiences, and it continues to do so today.
Well, obviously, if I haven't had a chance to check this out, but you're telling us on iTunes, the Beatles Now and Then is already number one.
Yeah, the number one streaming. It came about 3 hours ago. I got the notification.
Very, very interesting. I do not have an iPhone, much to the dismay of certain people in my life, but I thank you kindly for the call. I appreciate it, and excellent use of the word CODA again.
Thanks.
Yeah, Rich in Lakeview, that's CODA. I won't bore you with the definition. I'm going to continue this after 4 o'clock. The Beatles. Look, apparently the Beatles are still very, very relevant. Why? After all these years, is it the music? Do you remember your first experience with the Beatles? Many of you saw them on Ed Sullivan, but many of you are too young to have seen them on Ed Sullivan. And I think I must have been about 7 or 8 years old when I heard the Across the Street Neighbors put the speakers to the front window and play Love Me Do. And as a kid, I thought, whoa, this is the best song I have ever heard. And that was the beginning of my appreciation for the Fab Four. It is, and everybody had a favorite Beatle too, by the way. Everybody had a favorite Beatle. And we actually had a Beatles wig in the basement for a long time until the spiders ate it.